I wanted to preach a message about God's love for us. And so I wanted us to look at 1 John chapter number 4. This has been the theme of our service time today. Again, as we are entering into this week, when we are reminded of the time in which we get to express our love one for another, and then reminded of the love that God has for us and the love that we need to have for Him and for others as well. And so we're going to look at 1 John chapter number 4. If you would bear with me for just a few moments, I'm going to read quite a few verses in 1 John chapter number 4. And so if you would just follow along with me for just a few moments as we read through this text in this passage of Scripture, and then we'll get to a few thoughts that I believe that we see that God led me to as I was here in 1 John chapter number 4, some thoughts that we see about God and His love for us. And we're going to notice this, and by the way, as you're reading through this, it might help your mind to already be going this way. We're going to notice the love of God for us, and we're going to see it in 1 John chapter number 4, and we're going to notice His love in the Trinity. Now, when we talk about the Trinity, what do we mean by that? We talk about God being one, but yet in three different persons, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. So God the Father and then God the Son, Jesus Christ, and then God the Holy Spirit as well. And we're going to get to see the love in the threefold Trinity of our God here in 1 John chapter number 4. So would you look with me there in verse number 7? And again, we'll read quite a few verses here. If you would just be mindful of that and just listening along as I read to get as we read the passage of Scripture. Verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for," now watch this, "God is love." I'm thankful for that. Verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." Now in that passage of Scripture, 1 John chapter number 4, there's a lot that God says about the subject of love. As a matter of fact, while we were going through that reading from verse number 7 to verse number 21, again, I know a rather lengthy passage of Scripture to start off. We don't always read passages of Scripture quite that lengthy. But we read in those verses, and as we were reading through those verses, there were just a few verses that did not have the word love in it. We read about the love of God. We read about that. We saw the word love. We saw the word loved. And we talked about how God loves us and the love that we ought to have one for another and love that we ought to have for the brethren. And so the word love is expressed quite a bit in that passage of Scripture that we just read. Here's how we could describe or define the word love today as we're thinking about this word and as we're going to apply it to Scripture today. Love is the active concern for the well-being of another. Think about that this morning. The active concern for the well-being of another. There's a key word in there. It's the active concern. You are actively concerned about the people that you love, right? You're actively concerned about the needs that they have and the well-being of that person. And I'll go on in that definition and say one more statement because I think this statement reminds us of the love of God. Not only is love the active concern for the well-being of another, but we could add a little statement to that, no matter the cost. No matter the cost. See, if you think about the love of Jesus, it cost Him, and we'll talk about it here in just a moment, it cost Him His life, didn't it? But that is how much He loved us. He was willing to go and to shed His blood and sacrifice His blood, His life on that cross so that He could be the propitiation for our sins, which we'll get to in just a moment. Now, I want us to notice the love of God in the Trinity this morning in this passage of Scripture, and we're going to start off number one with God the Father. And here's what I want us to notice in 1 John chapter number 4. I want us to notice that God the Father is the great originator of love. So number one, God the Father is the great originator of love. Or we could say it this way, He is the source of love, isn't He? As a matter of fact, several times there in 1 John chapter number 4, we saw that little three-word phrase, God is love. You may have noticed it on the sign when you came in this morning, that special slide that ran across the slide on your way in this morning that says those three words, God is love. He is the great originator of love. He is the great source of love. You say, how do you know that to be true in 1 John chapter 4? Well, look with me, if you would, at verse number 7. The Bible says in verse number 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He is the source of love, right? He is the great originator of love. And it says, And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now watch this, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for, what's the last three words? God is love. He is the great originator of love. He is the great source of love. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31 and verse number 3, you might want to take note of that verse, or maybe perhaps if you're writing down references this morning in a notepad or maybe in your Bible there, if you would take note of Jeremiah 31 and verse number 3. The Bible says this, that God has loved us, now watch this, with an everlasting love. God is the originator. He's the great originator of love. He is the great source of love. And He loves us, the Bible says, with an everlasting love. So here is the statement that I'd like to say to you this morning. There may be individuals that will leave this earth and they will die unsaved, which means that they never came to a place in which they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they died. We would use the word lost. We would say they died lost. They died without Christ. They never came to put their trust in what Jesus did for them. So they would die unsaved. But there is not a single person who will ever die and say they were unloved. See, they may die unsaved, but they will never die unloved. Because the Bible says that God, as the great originator of love and the great source of love, has loved the entire world. And the Bible says He loves us with an everlasting love. Now, what else have we noticed in this passage of Scripture that we read about God's love? We've noticed this about God's love, that His love for us enables us to love like we should. So because we know of His love, the originator of love, the source of love, because we know about His love and His love has been shown in our hearts, it helps us to be able to love people the way that we should. Notice what the Bible says in verse 16 now. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 16. It says this, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." So what does the Bible say? The Bible says that God has made known his love to us. And for many, the Bible says that they've gotten to a place where they've believed his love as well. They don't just know his love, but they believe that he is a God of love because he's shown this love to us. And it even says that wording again, God is love. And so if we dwell in love, we are dwelling in God. So because God loves us, it enables us to love people the way that we should. Now, what does the Bible say about the love that we should have? First and foremost, the Bible says we ought to love God, right? We ought to have a love for God. And remember, we talked about how that in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18, which is our theme verse for this year, we talked about how that love for God should be a love that is preeminent, right? He is to have the preeminence in our church. So that means the love that we have for God should be a supreme love, right? Our love for God is a love that is above all others. As a matter of fact, throughout the Bible, he explained it this way. He said that we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. We can go back to the Old Testament of our Bible and see that wording. And then we can go to the New Testament of our Bible and we can see that wording where he encourages us and commands us that we're to love him with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul and all of our strength. So what is that telling us? That's telling us that we love God with all of our being, right? All of our heart, soul, mind, strength, every part of our being. We love God. It's a love that is supreme above every other love. Now, when we think about loving God, we certainly think about loving God in a personal way, meaning we are loving God. He is the source, source of love. He's the originator of love. And we are loving him in a personal way because it says we're to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So that's the personal way that we love God. But could I encourage you today to love God in practical ways as well? So the personal way of loving God is to say, I love God. But what are practical ways to love God? Well, we love God by falling in love with his word. See, this book came from him, didn't it? So we show in a practical way that we love God by saying, I love his word. Now, there's another way we can practically show that we love God, by loving his church. I told the children this morning, we were getting ready to get out of the church bus. I'm so thankful for our bus ministry that we could take a bus into the city of Hagerstown. We could pick people up for church. And we got off the bus. Well, we were getting ready to get off the bus this morning. We were getting ready to pray. And I told the children, talked about the same thing I've been talking to you about today. I said, we're entering into this week where we're going to celebrate Valentine's Day. And we're going to express our love one for another. And we can express our love for others around us, express our love for God as well. And I told the children right before we got on the bus, I said, one of the ways that you have expressed your love for God already today is that you were willing to come to his house. See, how do we express that we love God? We express love for God in a personal way, but in a practical way. We love his word. We love his house. As a matter of fact, the psalmist said this in the book of Psalms. The psalmist said this, that he loved the habitation of the Lord. You say, what does that mean? That means the place where God is dwelling. Now, we know that as a Christian, God dwells inside of us as well. But the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, which means that God is here dwelling with us today, isn't he? And this is a place where we get to meet together with God's people and we get to meet with the Lord, right? So we fall in love not only with God personally, but practically because we love his word. And we love, oh, by the way, the psalmist also said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So the psalmist said in a practical way, I love your word. I love your house. Listen to this. How do we show we love God in a practical way? We love his people. We love his people. We ought to have a love one for another, right? And to have a spirit of unity in such a way where we would say we love everyone that would step foot into our church. We just have a love one for another. And I hope that as you're in our church that you will feel that love that we have one for another and that spirit of love that we want to have so we fall in love with God's people. And then here's another thing. If we're going to love God in a practical way, we've got to have a love for souls. We've got to have a love for souls. Souls that are outside of Jesus Christ, those that need to know Jesus as their Savior. And that's why I'm so thankful for the ministries here of our church. Because every ministry in our church in some way promotes the gospel. In some way we're trying to get people to hear the gospel so that they can get to know the Savior that we love. We've got to fall in love with souls, so we love God in a personal way, but we love God in a practical way as well. So we're to have a love for God. Then the Bible teaches us that we're to have a love for others. We saw that in the passage of Scripture here in verse number 11. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." There's another good three-word phrase. We've got God is love. That's a good one. And then another good three-word phrase in this passage of Scripture is love one another, right? We need to have a love in our heart for one another. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 12. Verse number 12. "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Now, go down, if you would, to verse 20. I know we read these verses. Verse 20. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" If you can't love the people that you can see here on this earth and have a love in your heart towards them, how can you say that you have a love for God and you cannot see God, he says. By the way, he said it, I didn't now. Yeah, he said, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. I didn't say it. God's word said it, didn't it? Verse 21, the Bible says this, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." The Bible is very clearly teaching us we need to have a love one for another. Now, if you're there in 1 John chapter number 4, would you turn over to chapter 3 just for a moment? You might have to flip a page there. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse number 14. "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." He's saying that, and we'll talk about it here in just a minute in another verse that we're going to look at, but he's saying this thought that an evidence of the fact that you've come to know Jesus as your Savior is the fact that you have a love one for another. You have a love for the brethren. So it's an evidence of the fact that we have been saved. The Bible says it's even an evidence of the fact that we are his disciple, right? We're his disciple, or known to be his disciple, or his follower. That's what the word disciple means. We're a follower of Jesus because of the love that we have one for another. The Bible tells us that in John chapter 13 and verse number 35. Now, in the Scripture, the Bible teaches us about one more group of people that we are to love. We're to love God. We're to love others. And the Bible says, this is the challenging one, we're to love our enemies. We're to love our enemies. Now, that becomes challenging, doesn't it? The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 5 that we're to love our enemies, to love those that persecute you, that might even speak evil about you. He says that we are to love those who are our enemies. Now, did not our Savior leave us the greatest example of that? That even those who were his enemies, he still had a love in his heart for those who even were his enemies, those who even tried to hurt him and tried to, and even those who put him on the cross, he was willing to show his love and his forgiveness for them. What a pattern we have in the Word of God, in the Scripture. And so we said, number one, that God the Father is the great originator of love. But number two, here's the second part of the Trinity this morning. Number two, we've got God the Son. So God the Father is the great originator of love. We saw this in 1 John chapter number 4. But then God the Son is the greatest example of love. Or we could say it this way. We could say God the Father is the greatest originator or source of love. God the Son is the greatest example, or we could use the word pattern of love. He is the greatest example or the greatest pattern of love. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 9. Verse number 9. It says, "In this was manifested." Now, we know that word manifested means that it was made known to us. All right, so what was made known to us? Look at verse 9. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Now, to me, that doesn't sound like a fair trade, does it? He sent his son to be sacrificed so that I could live. He sent his son to die so that I could have life. He was sinless. I was a sinner. He took sin on himself so that I could be spotless and pure and justified before God. Doesn't sound like a fair trade. That's why we would say this is something we don't deserve. But it's God's grace. He gave to us what we did not deserve. He's the greatest pattern or example of love. Verse number 10, the Bible says this, herein is love. All right, so do you want to know what love is? That's what he's saying. Herein is love. Let me show you what love is. He says, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, I know that word propitiation is a great salvation word. It's a great doctrinal word, but I do realize that there are some that might look at that word propitiation and say, I just don't know that I understand exactly what that means. Well, that word propitiation means that God, that Jesus met the holy demands of a righteous God when he died on the cross. See, the holy demands of a righteous God was that somebody would have to give their life a sinless sacrifice now, would have to give their life for the sins of those that were going to be redeemed. So Jesus, when he gave his life for us, he was our propitiation. He met the holy demands of a righteous God. You and I can't meet those demands. See, I could say, I'll give my life for you, but it won't matter. You could say, you'll give my life, your life for me, but it won't matter. But when Jesus says, I'll give my life for you, he becomes the propitiation for our sins because he can meet the holy demands of a righteous God. Now, here's some ways that we describe the love of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans that God's love has no height. It has no depth. There's no enemy that would ever be able to take away or separate us from the love of God. The devil couldn't take us away from God's love. There's no height, nor depth, nor principality. The Bible talks about how there's nothing in the book of Romans that will be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. We sang a song this morning on the church bus, and the song says, the love of Jesus is so wonderful. It says it's higher than the mountain. It's deeper than the ocean. It's wider than the universe. And then the boys and girls with me this morning sang, oh, wonderful love. Oh, we've got a Savior that showed us wonderful love, right? There is nothing. Remember now in Scripture, he teaches us there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. He is the greatest pattern. He is the greatest example of love. I want you to notice real quickly, and I'm going to take the time to read this. In Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 17 down through verse number 19. And if you'd listen with me as I read, it says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. How is he describing his love? He describes it this way. He said it passes all knowledge. There is no way your mind can even comprehend how wonderful God's love is for us. God the Father as the great source of love, the great originator of love. God the Son is the great pattern or the great example of love. Now here's what we often say about love. We would say that love proves itself with action, doesn't it? Love is an action word. It proves itself by what we do, not simply by just what we say. Love is a word that we would say goes with sacrifice, right? You have to sacrifice something. It's not about just saying I love, but there's a sacrifice that is involved. What we are willing to give, or maybe what we would say what we're willing to give up so that we could show our love to somebody. Love is a word that describes something that will cost us something, right? It's going to cost us something to show love for somebody the right way. It reminds me of a short little story I came across one day when I was studying, and it reminded me of this with this passage of Scripture here and this thought this morning of that boy who really, really had a love for that girl. And he said to her, he said, there is nothing that would stop me from showing my love to you. He said, I would be willing to cross burning sands for you. I mean, it doesn't matter if I have to cross burning sands for you, I would be willing to do that. He said to his girl that he had interest in and love for, he said, I would be willing to fight lions for you. I mean, that's how strong my love is for you. I'd be willing to fight lions for you. I'd be willing to brave anything at all because of the love that I have for you. And then he paused and he said, and if it doesn't rain tonight, I'll come over and see you. Oh, that's not sacrifice, is it? That's not sacrifice. That's not any cost at all, right? And so how do we show our love for our Savior? It's an action word. He proved it with his love by showing it to us, didn't he? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he what? That he gave. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends, the Bible says. He proved it by what he did for us. The Bible says right there in our passage of scripture, there in 1 John chapter 3. Now we're in chapter 4, but if you'd flip over a verse again, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. How do we know the love of God? How can we say he was the great example or pattern of it? Because he showed it, he proved it, he demonstrated it by laying his life down for us. The Bible says that in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He proved, showed, demonstrated his love for us by dying for us. So we would say this about Jesus' love for us. Not only is it proved by his action, but we would describe love as being an attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. He is a God, the Bible says, who loves us. He's the great example of love. By the way, one of the great examples that he gave in Scripture, he was trying to encourage husbands with their relationship with their wives in the book of Ephesians. And he says these words for us. Be mindful of these now in Ephesians 5, verse 25. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. See, Jesus gave himself for the church, didn't he? Again, he didn't just say he loved us. One of the attributes of his character is that he has love. And he proved that for us by his willingness to give his life for us. And so the Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians that we are to follow the pattern of Christ's love. Walk in love, just as Jesus Christ loved us. Live for others by loving people as Jesus would love them. Love for others, that would be a reflection of God's love for us. He loved us, and we prove that we have a love for him by the love that we have one for another. Number three this morning, and we'll finish with the last person or the part of the Trinity this morning. We said God the Father is the great originator or the great source of love. We said number two, God the Son is the great pattern or example of love. I love this one while we finish this morning. God the Holy Spirit is the great giver of love. He is the great giver of love. The Bible tells us God the Father is the source of love. God the Son is the great example or pattern of love. The Bible says God the Holy Spirit is the great giver of love. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 13. We're back in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14. And the Bible, I'm sorry, chapter 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives within us the moment we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We use a word to describe that. We use the word indwelling. So we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God the moment we ask Jesus to be our Savior. So because he lives within us, because we have God living within us, we have the strength and we have the ability given to us by God who lives within us to love the way that we should. Now, the Bible has a way of describing God's Holy Spirit's love that he gives to us. And it's in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5. Now, I'm going to read this verse. Again, you may in your mind want to remember this verse or may want to write this one down. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5, the Bible says this. And hope maketh not ashamed. Now, listen to the rest of the verse. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now, we're going to finish the verse. So he says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now watch the end of the verse. By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See, there's proof in the Scripture that the Holy Spirit has been given unto us And he, because he's been given to us, helps us to have the ability to love the way that we should. He is the great giver of love. So when we got saved, we put our faith and trust in him. He came to live within us. And the Bible tells us he is helping us to mature us in the way that we should. The Holy Spirit living in us is helping us to grow, to be the child of God that God wants us to be. And the Bible very specifically in Galatians chapter 5 tells us one of the ways he does that. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23, the Bible gives to us a list. And the Bible tells us that list is a list of graces that God gives to us. The Bible describes them as fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost, when he comes to live within us, the Bible tells us, desires to produce fruit in our lives. Now, in that same chapter, Galatians chapter 5, there's another list that's mentioned there. And it's the works of the flesh. So we've got this list of the works of the flesh. And then a little bit later in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22 and going down to verse 23, he gives us the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible tells us that we ought to, in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the Bible's teaching us that true love cannot be in the flesh. It cannot just be a lustful love. But God says true love is going to be the love that the Holy Spirit gives to us. And again, it's in that list of the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first one. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We've got that list of nine fruit that the Bible tells the Holy Spirit gives to us. And this fruit is the result of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Now, I know I've said this many times, so those that are regular to our church, I know you've heard me say this before, but that list is given in a singular way. It says the fruit of the Spirit, which means that because it's written that way, God, the Holy Spirit, desires that we have every one of those fruit. He doesn't want us to just, and I know you've heard me say this before, but he doesn't want us to just pick and choose which one he wants us to have, but he wants us to have all nine of those fruit. You say, well, okay, well, what are the fruit of the Spirit? What is he trying to describe to us here? Well, he's showing us this fruit as being important spiritual character traits or qualities that need to be in our lives. And this fruit is to be shown or demonstrated by every single Christian. So the Bible tells the Holy Spirit is giving us this love so that we can demonstrate or show as a Christian this love that we need to show towards others that are around us. Now we have this fruit because we're maturing again to be the Christian that God wants us to be. And this fruit enables the world to see that there is a difference in us. We've been saved. And we're living like the Christian that God wants us to live as. He says again at the start of that list, the fruit of the, remember what the word is, the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, the Spirit is the one who gives us this fruit. And the very beginning of that list is the fruit of the Spirit is love. This love that the Holy Spirit wants us to have. The Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, I'm not going to take the time to look at that this morning for sake of time, but that would be what we would describe as the great love chapter. So we would go to this great love chapter and we would talk about how the Bible describes love. It uses the word charity in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 to over and over and over describe what charity or love should be like or what it should look like in the life of a Christian. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 about this love, and he talks about how that this love is not temporary. This love is a love that is forever. This is a love the Holy Spirit gives to us that really ought to be a forever thing in our lives. We're constantly loving God the way that we should because the Holy Spirit gives us this love. We're constantly loving others the way that we should because God gives us the ability through his Holy Spirit to love the way that we should. We're constantly even loving our enemies the way that we need to because God through his Holy Spirit is giving us the ability to do that. So the Holy Spirit gives me love. He helps me to love the way that I should. So as the Bible teaches us, if the Holy Spirit's going to give me this love, then let's really put this in perspective this morning as we close our message time. That means that if God as the great originator of love, and Jesus as the great pattern or the example of love, and the Holy Spirit who's the great giver of love, that means that if we will allow God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to help us with this subject of love, then we will be Christians. We will be children of God if we know Jesus as our Savior, who are loving the way that we should. That means that with God's help, I'll be able to love my wife the way that I need to. That means that with the help of God, with the Holy Spirit who dwells within me, because he says the fruit of the Spirit is love. That means that I'll be able to love the children that God has given to me the way that he wants me to. I'll be able to love my fellow Christian the way that God wants me to. I'll be able to love God the way that he wants me to. I'll be able to love my friends and my family and even my enemies the way that God desires for me to show love. So this week, we enter the week in which we desire to show or express our love for one another. The love that we have for those that are close to us and that are in our lives. But may it also remind us of the love that God has for us and the love that we ought to have for him and the love that we ought to have for others. As we've seen the Trinity in this passage of Scripture, God is the great source of love. God the Son is the great example or pattern of love. And God the Holy Spirit as the great giver of love. He gives to us the fruit of the Spirit. That character trait of love that God's Holy Spirit gives us so that we can love the way that we should. Here's the idea as we come to a finish here today. Two thoughts. Number one, there would not be, according to what we just read in the Bible today, and I hope it was an encouragement to you, but according to what we just read in the Bible, there is not one person that would be sitting here today that would say, I do not have the ability to love the way that God wants me to. See, that would become an excuse, wouldn't it? Because God says, I have given you as the source of love and as a great example of love and a great giver of love, I have given you the ability to love the way that I desire for you to love. We cannot say that it is outside of our ability. We have the ability to do it. It's up to us to determine we're going to love God the way that we should. We're going to love others the way that we should. Maybe today there'd be somebody at the end of this message that would need to make a decision to say, God, I need to love you in a greater way. And I need to express the fact that I love you in a greater way by loving your word the way that I should. And loving your house the way that I should. And loving your people the way that I should. And having more of a love for souls than maybe what I've had before. God, help me to love you the way that I should. And to have a love one for another. Maybe perhaps there's somebody here today or somebody here today that would have, maybe that person is not even here today. But you would say, there's in my heart ought towards someone. I'm not showing love towards someone the way that I should, and I need to confess that. I need to ask God to forgive me so that things are right between me and him and things are right between me and others as well. See, our time on this earth is too short to have hatred in our hearts for others. It doesn't matter who it is. And it doesn't matter what they've done to you. To get to a place where you say, I will overcome my bitterness, my unforgiveness by saying, God, I need your help and I'm going to make it right so that we would have aught towards no one at all. There would be no one on earth that we would say we have aught towards, but we would have a right relationship with everybody. Listen, life's too short for family members to say we're not talking to one another. Or we just don't get along with them. Or I don't love that family member. Life is too short and eternity is too long to be worried about things like that, instead to say, I'm going to get that dealt with. I'm going to get it right. And by the way, if you decide to say, I'm going to deal with it on my end, even if they're not willing to deal with it on their end, if you'll just do it in your heart. You say, I'm going to deal with it on my end, and I'm going to make sure I get it right so that there's nothing that stands between me and God, and there's nothing that stands between me and others. Now, there could be somebody here today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And boy, if we're going to preach a message about love, we would be in great error if we didn't give you an opportunity to respond to the love of God. He loved us so much that he gave. He did everything for us so that we could have everything one day. We could have an opportunity to spend eternity with him. And let me ask you today, would there be somebody here today that would say today, I've never called upon Jesus, I've never asked him to be my Savior. Get to a place where, number one, you realize you're a sinner. The Bible says we've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God. Realize there's a punishment, there's a penalty that must be paid for that sin. The Bible says for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. And we cannot save ourselves, but God says he loved us so much that he sent his son to this earth to die for us, to pay the price. Not only did he do it because he loved us, but he did it to pay the price for us because we couldn't do it ourselves. We couldn't pay the price ourselves. So Jesus said, I paid it for you. And then the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've never called on the name of the Lord. You've never asked him to be your Savior. You've never put your faith and trust in him. And you cannot honestly in your heart go back to a time and a place where you've done that. Would you trust him today? Would you trust him today? Don't let anything stand between you and the love that God has already shown for you and he wants to show for you to you by putting your faith and trust in him. And then maybe as a Christian, as a child of God, if there's something that you need to deal with today when it comes to your love for God, your love for others, maybe a love for those that at times might mistreat you, let's just deal with it. Let's ask God for forgiveness. Maybe remove bitterness out of our hearts. Maybe it will even require us when we go home this afternoon to say, I'm going to have to make a phone call. I'm going to have to somehow deal with this situation so I get it resolved, at least on my end. Would we let God help us with this? Father, thank you today for the challenge from the Word of God. Lord, I pray you'd help us today to see your love in 1 John chapter 4 through the Trinity. God the Father, the great originator or source of love. God the Son, the great example or pattern of love. And God the Holy Spirit as the great giver of love.